Good morning. It's great to see each one of you out here today. Do we have any special guests visiting with us this morning? If you are, would you please stand so we can recognize you? Any special guests? It's all home, folks. Great to see each one of you out here today. I hope that all of y'all went into Sunday school this morning. We had a great Sunday school lesson talking about missions again. You know, all of us are qualified to do missions, and it can start by ministering to our family, in our homes, in our extended family. And we was talking about Paul. Paul was compelled with love to minister to the Corinthians, you know, and they were in a different culture and a lot of things going on in their church. But Paul did not give up on them. He was compelled to love. And sometimes we want to give up on people, but we can't give up on them because they're going to go into the world and the world is going to be there for them. But we need to be compelled with God's love to help others and to help them through their hard times. But so many times family wants to give up on family. But you know, God does not want us to give up on family, no matter what they've done. Sometimes we have to show tough love or something like that. But we need to help one another. I have a few announcements this morning. First of all, I only want me to mention that Monica Warr's heart surgery has been changed from December the 13th to December the 19th. And it's going to be at the Norton's Hospital downtown. So pray for that family. Pray for her as she goes through that. And pray for the ones that are on the program this morning. Pray for Brother Larry as he preaches this morning. To God give him the words and the understanding. And give us understanding to receive what he wants us to receive. Continue to pray for our pastor, for his health and his strength. And I hope all of you are praying for him. You know, because he needs our prayers. Prayer works, doesn't it? Prayer truly works. And we believe that. So we need to pray for him every day and pray for his family. Also, December the 12th is going to be the Season Saints. This is Happy Birthday Jesus, and Linda Perry is going to talk about that. But Season Saints is collecting non-perishable food for Christmas baskets. And so, you know, give to that. That's going to be placed in the basket by the usher's table. So participate in that. If you want to give money, see Sue Eskridge or Darlene Fletcher. Thank you.
Good morning. I just want to remind everybody that this Wednesday we will be celebrating Jesus' birthday. It's from 6:30 to 7:30. We are asking that you bring out shoe boxes filled with anything you choose to put in there. I mean, they asking for towels and wash rags, but it's going to be a wonderful occasion because we get to celebrate Jesus' birthday. I look forward to everybody coming out. It's for the entire church. So please come out this Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Paul. My assignment is to call you to worship. And one of the things I wanted to share is that this week in our Bible study, we've been studying in 1 Samuel about David. And what we know about David is that David was a man after God's own heart. But the amazing thing that I noticed about David is that no matter what was going on, no matter how much he cried out to the Lord for help, or if he was in pain, or if he was afraid, David always managed to put his focus back on God and who God is and the power that God has to save. David consistently cried out to God, but he consistently praised God and acknowledged God for who he was and the power that God had. And so I thought, how amazing that this would be coupled with this amazing video that we're sharing this morning about our pastor, Reverend Lincoln Bingham. We know that he is definitely a man after God's own heart. So just please sit back and relax and enjoy this video.
We would have blacks and whites from South Africa, Protestants and Catholics from Northern Ireland, Aborigines and whites from Australia, blacks, whites, Native Americans from the U.S., all together. And Lincoln had such an impact on all of these people when they would hear his story, when he would talk about what God had done in his life.
It's a fascinating story when you look at his upbringing, when you look at his childhood, and when you look at his challenges.
I don't mind telling you about my ethnicity, poverty, and obscurity. I grew up in a little town called Cerulean, Kentucky. I was the eighth of 10 children. My grandfather was from Dallas, Texas, brought to Louisville, Kentucky on horseback and buggy all the way from there. 14 years old when he came, never to see his mother again, and was a slave, actually, and did whatever was commanded and demanded for him to do.
Lincoln was 15 when his grandfather died. So he had heard the stories his grandfather shared with him. He had seen the scars on his grandfather's back. However, Lincoln shares that his grandfather was a very kind, a very gentle man, a very loving man. And Lincoln could not understand how his grandfather could have that kind of love. But his grandfather kept saying to him, "Son, someday you will understand."
I went to a revival when I was 9 years old. We were kind of teasing and peeping around and seeing everything. But all of a sudden, a song was sung. It did something to me. So the next morning, I asked my mother, "Mother, can I stay home today and get my religion?" That's the way they put it in those days, okay?
That salvation brought about something in Lincoln that caused him to change his view when it came to hate and when it came to revenge.
And as Lincoln began to grow in his faith, all of that bitterness eventually left, and he simply was left with a heart filled with love.
I think it is one of the tragedies of our nation, one of the shameful tragedies, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours, if not the most segregated hours in Christian America. I definitely think the Christian church should be integrated, and any church that stands against integration and that has a segregated body is standing against the spirit and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and it fails to be a true witness.
In 2009, the opportunity presented itself for the St. Paul Baptist Church, a predominantly African-American church, and the Shively Heights Baptist Church, a predominantly Anglo or white church, to come together as one.
Mark Payton and I have been friends for 10 or 12 years. So he called me one day and he said, "Lincoln, could you come down and talk with me about merging our two churches?"
Really? Can this really work? And I think everybody had their own perspective of how it was going to turn out. And I would venture to say that many did not feel that it was going to happen until it happened.
So we decided to come together. And on that Sunday morning, we had 600 people that came to this church, all over the balcony. Some couldn't even get in the building.
For many of us, if not most of us, it spoke to the thought, it's possible.
White people love black people in this church. Black people love white people in this church.
I remember years ago hearing someone say, love is not so much two people looking at each other as it is two people together looking in the same direction. I have seen the example of St. Paul Church at Shively Heights, people serving together no matter what their backgrounds and no matter what their racial identities, to be able to come together and serve together because of their joy in Jesus Christ.
Revelation does speak to that when John said, "I saw a number that no man could count from all nations, from all tongues." I think this is that demonstration.
Our call is not to make people feel good. It's a call to make people be good. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. there will always be opposition. There will always be some who are going to be negative. Don't be controlled by the wrong that you may encounter, as I have, but continue to recognize the love of God that it should have brought in your heart. Just a moment. The Kentucky Baptist Convention put this together. And I want you to know it's not so much about me. It's about so much about St. Paul Baptist Church and Chapel Heights Baptist Church. You're the ones who made the decision. I did not even vote. I watched to see how people would vote and what they would do about this. And the numbers were high. And the numbers were sufficient for two congregations to come together. And this video is shown across I don't know how many places, letting people see what God can do through people who love God and learn how to love one another. God bless you.
Good morning, church. This morning, our responsive reading comes from 678, which can be found in the back of your hymnal. If everyone will please stand, we'll read this together. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. All together. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with him.
Thank you.
It's time for altar call. And as you head to the altar, I ask that you come as humble as you know how. Bring all your cares to the Lord. I welcome you to the altar. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you as humble as we know how, thanking you so much for this day. Thanking you for this day, Lord, that you has given us to come together as a family, to sing together, to praise you, to honor you, even to give you our worries and concerns. Lord, you know everything about us, but right now we just want to say thank you for giving us the opportunity just to speak it out. Just to lift it up off our hearts, Lord, we just want to say thank you for the God that you are. Lord, you tell us that you sit high and look low, and you just know that no matter what, no matter what we might be going through, you told us that we will endure trials and tribulations, but you also told us, Lord, to hold on to your unchanging hand and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray right now that we hold on to that. You tell us to walk by faith and not by sight. You tell us to trust you no matter what. When them days are gloomy, Lord, you tell us to look up. You tell us to look for that sun that is shining, and that sun is just you, Lord, telling us that it's going to be all right. Lord, I know right now that today someone is walking around with a heavy heart. Someone is just worrying about a bill. Someone is worrying about a lost child. Someone is just worrying about what they're going to eat today, Lord. But Lord, you said if you would take care of the flowers and the birds, how would you not take care of us? So Lord, you tell us just to trust you and believe in you, Lord, and that's what we got to do. No matter what, Lord, we got to believe that you are the answer to it all. We got to give it all to you and leave it there. You tell us to bring it to the altar and leave it there. But Lord, as we leave this altar, I pray that we don't pick it right back up and take it back with us. You said you would give us comfort. You said you would give us peace in the midst of the storm. But Lord, I don't even know if anybody's going through a storm. But right now, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just being there waiting for us to say, Lord, help us. And Lord, right now, I just want to thank you for this day. Lord, we don't know what today holds, but we know who holds today. And that's you, Lord. So Lord, 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 Lord. And as we are in this holiday season, not just a holiday season, but a Christmas season, a Christ season, a birthday season to celebrate your son, Lord, I pray that we don't forget that. As we going out spending money, but I pray that we just remember the reason for the season, Lord. And that's you. That's you, Lord. So, Lord, right now, I just want to say thank you. Please forgive us for our sins, the one that we do knowingly and unknowingly. We ask that you just please forgive us, Lord. And I say that sincerely. So, Lord, right now, I just want to say thank you for this day. And I praise and honor you for who you are. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And, Lord, I pray that we know that. We carry that in our heart. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Now's the time for missionary offering and fellowship. And if there's any visitors that we didn't get to welcome, we welcome you now at St. Paul Shavery Heights.
short.
Ready?
Can you turn it towards
no.
you?
We there. You ready?
Why are you so far from the mic?
As our young adults depart from the stage, I just wanted to take a moment. There was an announcement that was overlooked, just to highlight one of our young adults who's not with us right now. But if you could just listen, the president and trustees and faculty of the University of Kentucky are pleased to announce that Alexis Stevenson, which is one of our young adults, is a candidate for a degree of her Bachelor of Health and Science in Medical Laboratory Sciences. But the key thing is this. She's graduating summa cum laude. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I actually had to look that up because I'm like, is it magna? Summa is the top. That's the pinnacle. And that's something as a church that we should be so proud of. Alexis started with these babies, and now she's graduated here and now graduating from college. And I just wanted us as a church, even though she's not with us, we know her mom is with her, with us, Keisha, and her grandma, who I know is just so proud. We're so proud of her. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Bam. Lord have mercy. Just a little story while we prepare ourselves for giving. My uncle used to be the president of Simmons Bible College some years ago, and he sent out on behalf of the Simmons Bible College in 1974 a card to every body of the General Association. So that's every church. And he asked if every member in said church would give $2 to Simmons Bible College. $2, 1974, $2. I don't think he got it. Simmons was a struggling church, I mean, a college back in those days, and money was of minimum. They had great teachers, but they just was minimum. Now it's quite a bit better than it was before. I say that to say this. Here at St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights, the same request is required. It takes so much to do what we do here and take care of ministries. And every time I walk through the door, there's always something I got to fix. I think it's got to be fixed anyway. Leaks in the roof and things of this nature. And the man was talking earlier today about how people don't understand what it takes to run this facility and take care of the ministries as well. So, Pastor talks about it all the time, but I'm going to make a plea to you as well. Trust God. Amen. Trust God. And that's it, basically. And if you feel like you're not doing your part, trust God. We're not asking to go over above beyond the call of duty. We just know what it takes to do what we do. And the reason why I can speak to it, because I see it every week. See it every week. So if you could get in your heart, know this is Christmas time. We know we're out shopping and this, that, and the other. If you got an opportunity to shop for the Lord, do so. Amen. If you can. I'm not fussing. I'm just giving you the facts as I see them. And Ken and I watch it weekly, and we see it weekly, and it's always something that we have to do. And we're just trying to maintain a great facility for not only our members, but the folk that come in. There's plenty to do. And when we talk about giving, we also talk about giving of talents and time. There's something in here that if you're not doing anything, but coming here on Sunday morning setting, there's something you can do outside of that. Outside of that. The other day, we was out in the gym, looked at some stuff, and it cost us money to fix it. But we did it. And we have been able to do that. But I'm just saying, we just want everybody to just take a inventory of what you do and see if you can do better. That's all I'm asking. Thank you very much for listening. Father God, we're truly grateful for the gifts we're about to receive. We just thank you, Lord, for what you've done and will be continuing to do on our behalf. We thank you for this church, this body of believers that know that they can trust you with their giving, with their lives, with their token of appreciations to you. We just ask, Father God, that you continue to bless them. Now we ask blessings upon this offering, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
midnight, call his name late in the day. I call on Jesus, Heavenly Father, he'll lead the way. Just Jesus.
Just Jesus.
Just Jesus. Stripes and woe, I am pleading for your mercy and your spirit you give. I know when I'm pressing the high mark of calling, sometimes rising, sometimes I'm falling. I call on Jesus, Heavenly Father, he'll lead the way.
Just Jesus.
Just Jesus.
Just Jesus.
Oh,
when your burden, his name releases.
Dark
clouds may rise.
His name drives tears from your eyes. Your burden,
yes,
and disappointment, don't know just which way to go. Let the hands of Jesus lead you to the way. You hear me show.
Yes,
when call his name way in the midnight, call his name late in the day. I call on Jesus, Heavenly Father, he'll lead the way. Just Jesus.
Just Jesus.
Just Jesus.
Just Jesus.
It's something to be said about the choirs this morning. They all was acknowledging Jesus. The children, marvelous. God does marvelous things And then the young adults. Mary, did you know about your baby boy? They remind me saying, congregation, do you know about Jesus? Sister Bingham in the hymn, hark the herald angels sing, Jesus is the light of the world. We are walking in the light, beautiful light. And then, Imogene sung about Jesus. I could say that I've been fed already this morning and I could go home. But I believe that we have a word this morning from the Lord. Pastor Bingham, I'm so thankful to be under Pastor Bingham as one of his associates, how he encourages and how he pushes you to do what the Lord would have you to do. He doesn't let that get in the way. He's not a jealous pastor. He's always encouraging. I just want to know him to know that I'm thankful. But this morning, I want to read from the scripture, Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. And it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John did baptize in the wilderness and preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And they went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Verse 7. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, that latcheth, of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. This morning, I would like to lift up verse 7. From that, I want to use for a subject, introducing Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, I just ask now, Father, that I remove self and that you are in control of my words and of the message that you would have me to speak. We bless this day, Father. We bless you. We bless the coming of you as we celebrate this month. because you are your son, the reason for the season. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about introducing Jesus. For these reasons, and number one, far too many people are making Jesus just another character in the pages of history. Number two, too much of church teachings are going all around Jesus. And number three, people in general need to know that many of us have been a part of this Jesus movement for a number of years. If you were asked today to introduce Jesus to someone, how would you do it? If there was someone who wanted to meet him right away, how would you introduce Jesus to him or her? Would you feel funny about it, or would you feel embarrassed? Or would you really pour your heart out and tell the person who Jesus is? The question is being asked all around us today. Would you introduce this Jesus to me? I must admit that Jesus is in history, but history is also in Jesus. The very pages of American history are saturated with the facts of his existence. Go on and make all the ruckus that you would like over America today. But please be reminded that the pilgrims, they came here looking for a place where they could pick and choose their own praying ground. To exclude Jesus from ancient or modern history is to strip those pages of all and any value at Christmas time. We hear and don't hear a lot about Jesus. The name is called often at this time of year. Cantatas. They tell the story of his birth in song. Television stations use our stage in religious services that appear in color right before our own very eyes. The population is carried away with and caught up in pageantry, the costumes, and the singing. We brag about what a wonderful program that was. We simply admire and adore children playing parts of little angels. In a week or two, we're getting ready to celebrate Happy Birthday, Jesus, here at church, and I'm sure it'll be well attended. But our minds are running off and leaving us. We must do our Christmas shopping. Drop, shop till you drop. We start getting ready for Black Friday and can't even have a good Thanksgiving together, worrying about what time we got to get up. Our gift wrappings, our decorating our trees. Look at that tree, how beautiful it is. It probably took a lot of time to decorate it. But I want to tell you about that decorating a tree. We had a tree we put up last year and went to the basement to get it and bring it up, and the base was broken. Couldn't stand it up. Okay, take care of that. I go buy, see if I can buy a bass. I go, couldn't buy a bass, but I bought another tree. Got that tree home, pulled it out of the box, the bass was broken. Carried it back. And finally, the lady just laughed. She said, "Do you really want to put up a tree?" But what I'm trying to say is, we spend a lot of time on other things. Thoughts of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer help us skip through the house, the tune of Rudolph. Here comes Santa Claus. Jingle bells. Bells are jingling. Drunks are getting drunker. Talking about Christmas. Stores are concentrating on how much they can sell. Wives are busy baking cakes. Daddies are busy putting toys together. When all of this commotion dies down, there is little room for Jesus. But have no fear. The story of his birth is there. I have heard it hundreds of times at Christmas. Many of you sitting right here and listening to me have told yourselves and stories about the pages of history. Your expressions have been beautiful because you may speak well, but the questioner is still asking for more than just beautiful expressions. He wants to know who Jesus is. The song the young people sing, the youth, "Mary, did you know?" Boy, it fitted right in. No one can introduce another unless he has a knowledge of him. In other words, before you can introduce someone to anyone else, you must know something about him or her. Jesus is not introduced so easily by some because they just do not have a knowledge of him. They relate well the historical Jesus. How clear they sound, words sound, fall upon mortal ears, describing Mary and Joseph's trip to Bethlehem. The two searching for a place for its baby to be born. The seemly hostility of the crowded city. The story is told of wise men, the star, the shepherds, the angelic hosts. The story might end with a trained voice singing, "Silent night, holy night." In a few minutes, the announcer steps forward and says, "I hope that you've enjoyed our show tonight. Our next show will feature a jazz group and the world's most renowned blues singers, B.B. King or Bobby Blue Bland." In a few minutes, he will say, "Now until then, folks, good night and have a good Christmas." It is all over from now until next year. The cast, the directors, and announcers all hear it from the television station, and they are on their way. They're engaging in their own Christmas party. Jesus is forgotten. The stories are beautiful, but consequently, they have not really introduced Jesus. Because they do not really have a knowledge of him. If there ever was a time that people need to really know who he is, it is right now. Undeserved that millions do not really want to meet Jesus. Undisturbed because we are drunk on the wine of the world, this world. Undisturbed because we are drunk on prosperity. I shudder when thinking of the number of people who literally turn their backs on God and the church simply because now they live a tiny fraction better than they used to. What I want you to see is if you really knew Jesus, it would be so very, very different in the world today. But let me try to introduce Jesus. Let me introduce Jesus to you today. Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend, and such I look to thee. Hello, humanity, this is Jesus, the sinner's friend. He is most unusual. There is no one to compare with him. His mother was named Mary. He is so much man until God was wrapped in flesh. He is so much man until when he was born, he was small enough to fit into a cradle and cry just like any other normal child. He is so much man until when he stumped his feet, they hurt just like yours and mine. And he was so much man until he became tired, just like you and me. He even had to reside into the mountains and at the bottom of the ship to find rest. He was so much man until he had to eat just like you and me. He was so much man until he had blood just like you and me. Man, what a man. I'm talking about Jesus. His Father is the Holy Spirit. He is God, man. He is so much God that he framed the world. He is so much God until he scooped out the oceans and the seas and the rivers and the lakes and the bayous, streams and ponds. He is so much man until he can plant grass on top of mountains where no man would ever walk. I, as reading through the Bible, I ran across some men who knew Jesus. And this is how they introduced him. Moses. Moses said he was a green bush burning. Joshua said he was a mighty battle axe. Daniel, stone hewed out of the mountain. Job, horse pond in the valley. Solomon, rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Hosea, loving God. Ezekiel, wheel in the middle of the wheel. But who seemed to me that really knew who Jesus was Isaiah. Isaiah said in the 9th chapter and verse 2, he says that Jesus is an illuminator. In the 11th chapter and verse 3, he is a judge. He is a reprover in the 11th chapter and verse 4. He is a lawgiver in the 42nd chapter and verse 4. He is a liberator in the 42nd chapter and verse 7. He is a burden bearer in the 53rd chapter and verse 4. Isaiah says in the same chapter, 53, verse 6, that Jesus is a sin barrier. He continues to introduce Jesus as an intercessor. In the 12th verse, and the only Savior, in the 5th verse of the same 53rd chapter, he called choir, you saying, Emmanuel, in the 7th chapter, verse 14. Isaiah introduces Jesus in the 63rd chapter, in the 1st verse, as a mighty traveler. In the 61st chapter, in verse 1, he is an anointed preacher. In the 53rd chapter, in verse 1, he is an arm of God. He is a divine Savior in the 41st chapter and the 2nd verse. In the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, verse 1, he is a righteous king. And in the 9th chapter, verse 6, Isaiah introduces Jesus as, choir, you sung it, as a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I can remember as growing up in a little town of West Point, Kentucky, I can remember my great-grandfather. He would sing, was a deacon, and he would say all the time that Jesus, he is a mother for the motherless, a father for the fatherless, brother for the brotherless, a sister for the sisterless. He is bread when you're hungry and water when you're thirsty. I read in the scripture about John. John said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoe. I want to tell you, he is everything to me. I want to tell you more about my friend Jesus, for he is my Savior, a strong deliverer. He can supply all your needs, for he has the power in his hands. But he died on Friday, but he didn't stay dead. He rose on Sunday morning with power in his hand. He is a Savior, for he is my Savior. I remember one day when I was going wrong, didn't know which way to go, and I remember the song, Imogene, just Jesus. When you burden his name relieves you. I had some dark clouds. They was rising my eyes, but the name Jesus dries the tears from my eyes. I could call on him, the Heavenly Father satisfies. When you're disappointed, despondent, when you're in despair, when you're distressed, when you are sick, you can call upon him because he knows just where to go. You say, let the hands of Jesus lead you in the way you to go. He'll show you. Call his name. Call his name in the midnight. Call his name during the day. Call Jesus, and he will lead the way. O Lamb of God, I come in the land of strife and woes. I'm pleading, just have mercy. And your spirit, you'll give me. I know. When I'm pressing the high mark of calling, sometimes rising, sometimes falling, I want Jesus, my Heavenly Father, to lead the way. This is not what somebody has told me. I know Jesus for myself. All you have to do is call his name. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help do I know. And the reason I know is because he's brought me through. Jesus has been my fixer. He'll fix it for you. When things are not going right, when things seem to fall apart, you can lean on him. You can call his name, Jesus. 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 I need your help. I can't do it by myself. That's the way you introduce Jesus. When somebody asks you, don't be ashamed to tell them about what he can do for you. Jesus. Jesus. There's something about that name, Jesus. He can save you by his power in the name of Jesus. That's what I wanted to share with you today is introducing Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Let the world know. People want to know who he is. Don't be ashamed to tell him what he's done for you. What he's doing for you. They can have the same if they just call his name. I'm wondering this morning, is there one who wants to be introduced to Jesus? Is there one who wants to meet this Jesus? As the counselors come forth, would you come and meet this Jesus? Come, because he's there. All you have to do is ask. Call his name as we come. And Sister Bingham leads us in our invitation of him. I'm just wondering, maybe it's on your heart, you just maybe have fallen out of touch with Jesus, and you want to make it right, you want to let him know, and if you're not for sure if you know him or not, won't you come forth?
harvest sales. And when you walk in the streets, you can boldly say, I decided to follow Jesus. Here's a moment. Be seated as our pastor comes. Amen. Introduce him.
Thank you, Larry. It is quite evident that you studied your Word of God and presented the Word of God in the appropriate fashion. If you're here today without Christ, you need to make up your mind to become a part of the followers of Jesus Christ. All the scripture said that was said and read and presented today is in the Word of God. But Jesus said himself, he verbalized these words, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And not anyone, I don't care where you're from, who you are, what you know, unless you come by him. Please keep in mind the fact that without Jesus, there is no way to heaven. God so loved the world that he gave that son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know how long it will be before my time is up on this land. But one day I want to leave here, but I know where I'm going. I'm going to meet that person, Jesus. And all those who have gone on before me and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll join in their rejoicing. It is my prayer and hope today that if you're here without Christ, if you're here with Christ, and you know those who do not know him, be a witness. Introduce Jesus to them. I was glad one day when I met my dear wife. I tell you, I haven't been the same since that day I met her. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, since the day that I met her. But you know what? One day I met Jesus that made me ready to meet her. You understand what I'm saying? When you know Jesus Christ, it makes a difference in the lives of others. Let your light shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Would you stand with me, please? And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth now. Till we meet again and all forever. Amen.